Well, it's good to be here with the community today. And I am part of that anti-racism justice mission group. I said it wrong, but let me start with a poem that I found that's really powerful, and it speaks to the Matthew passage, but it ties into what I have to say, and then there's another quote that relates. And it's by Warsan Shire. I'm not sure if you've heard of her. She's a Somalian refugee who's in Great Britain, as I understand it. The poem is called What They Did Yesterday Afternoon. They set my aunt's house on fire. I cried the way women on TV do, folding at the middle, like a 5-pound note. I called the boy who used to love me, tried to okay my voice. I said, hello. He said, Warsan, what's wrong? What's happened? I've been praying, and these are what my prayers look like. Dear God, I come from two countries. One is thirsty. The other is on fire. Both need water. Later that night, I held an atlas in my lap, ran my fingers across the whole world, and whispered, where does it hurt? Everywhere. 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 The part I want to focus on is the part about I come from two countries. One is thirsty, and the other is on fire, and both need water. I think that unity is what we need to focus on. And some of the learnings are painful in how we get over divisions that we've been bred to live under, conditions and thinking that we've been bred and raised in, that it's really hard to change our minds, and that's essential. And personally, each day, each week, each month, I'm coming across revelations of my own about race and even sexism. You know, I have sexist thinking, I have racist thinking, it's there, and I've been working hard to change it. So when I talk about our community and the things we need to change, it's not just pointing out individuals. We have to unify and feed ourselves with that water that the poem talks about. And I'll give a little, I think it's called an allegory that tells how this is. A man went to the doctor for a threatening illness. He avoided it as long as he could, but he thought of his family. If it was as bad as he had, if it was bad, he had to prepare for the worst. He had several tests performed, and the results came back. The doctor called the man in to explain the results. It's just as we expected, sir. You have two chronic diseases. They are very common, but there's little hope of completely eradicating the condition. You have both sexism and racism. That's our diagnosis. The influence of centuries of misinformation is impossible to eradicate. We've been working on it for centuries. We always drift back to that scenario in one form or another. During the 60s, the surgeon tried the narrow approach with the major legal strategies to eradicate hatred. We hoped that laws would diminish hate and level the playing field. The fact is that it has failed to resolve the issue. The result is just like Reconstruction after the Civil War. After a few years, the Confederates regrouped. And we may have a rising star in that leadership in our country today. And I'm going to return to that poem periodically throughout my sermon, and you can join me if you want. I come from two countries. One is thirsty, the other is on fire. Both need water. So in our struggle today, we have to cast a wider net on what we call racist. The single most painful word in the English language is the N-word. We don't even utter the word in polite company. It brings all the power and hatred of violence that we might expect in Nazi Germany. The second most painful word to be uttered is racist. People have fear to be called that word, and we have to accept that we're part of the fabric of that, that makes that word powerful. So we need to cast that wider net that I talked about to include any behaviors that contribute to racism continuing. We don't support racism like a skinhead Nazi. We support it in a broader, more subtle ways. We support it by refusing to ruin the dinner party to correct a racist statement. We support it by choosing not to befriend those descendants of African slaves. We support it by having lots of diverse friends, but all of them are immigrants rather than Native Americans or descendants of slaves. We support racism when we filter our dialogues on the listserv. We support it in the way we select who we allow to speak at church. We support it by believing that nice people aren't racists. We're all good people, us racists. We're nice people. All of us who appear white are racists. White people created racism in the country. It's a white problem. White people benefit to this day. That's not to say that white people have an easy life. White people have work to do to change it. And back to the poem. I come from two countries. One is thirsty, the other is on fire. Both need water. We can't expect to change society if we don't change. I don't like change. It's uncomfortable. As I've gotten older, I have some medical issues that require me to change my diet. I hate changing my diet. I like comfort food. We choose areas where we accept being uncomfortable. Traveling, leaving the house, going to restaurants, driving, all push us into areas we're not in control of. We like that comfort of being in control. People of color certainly don't have the same luxury. They have a level of discomfort in everyday life that would be paralyzing for me. They have a fear produced by the Civil War all around them. There is no refuge from that torment. The psychodrama aspect of this condition is that they're lulled into a belief that it is their fault. It's called internalized white superiority. I always think of the 60s as Civil Rights 1.0. It was the first version, and we currently are in the second part of that struggle with its own challenges. But that's a white man's thinking. Black people have been in the struggle for 400 years. I'm going to go back to the poem. They come from two countries. One is thirsty, the other is on fire. Both need water. I think we're compelled by the sensationalism of the media to portray places in shocking terms while our own children here are in disparaging need. We have a war going on here. Children are not starving in the sense of lacking food. They are starving in ghettos. There are food deserts. Our food deserts pen in a population of black children who don't have a grocery nearby. We have a war going on here. Black children are starving for education in systems that still segregate by skin color and income. Black men are incarcerated. Black men are executed for meaningless crimes, and the perpetrators are not brought to justice. Even in a war zone, there is justice. We are near a war zone and don't even realize it. We may stand next to our darker-skinned brother and not know the turmoil that stresses him to an early grave. The war is not a traditional war. It's more of a sniper war, a guerrilla warfare. During the 60s, the Black Power movement lost many of their top leaders through assassination, discrediting, and banishment. Then the drug war happened and further devastated communities. We believe the media because we see pictures. I remember in the 60s seeing the pictures of the protesters being sprayed with fire hoses, attacked by dogs. Those images brought consciousness to a lot of us. Now we have pictures of police brutality that bring the same awareness to the struggle on the streets today. But the pictures of the other struggles for descendants of slaves aren't so apparent. There is a real chance every day in every black family that someone won't come home alive that day. We can't take a picture of that type of realization. And back to the poem, I come from two countries. One is thirsty, the other is on fire. Both need water. We have a debt and an obligation politically and spiritually. We are not whole until we create justice and account for the past that we benefit from. We need to be aware of the wider definition of racism, which applies to all dominant oppressors who live here, are racist. We have to realize that this is a spiritual journey where our liberation is tied to our black-skinned brothers. And Lila Watson had a quote that sort of ties this together. If you come here to help me, then you're wasting your time. But if you've come here because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together. I come from two countries. One is thirsty, and one is on fire. Both need water.